Andrea Butcher, screaming your way into a brand new episode of Wham Bam Pow. I am the host tonight in Cameron's absence. She is up in Montreal.
Montreal.
I don't know how to say it. I'm not French. I'm Ohioan, so I can't pronounce it. This is Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie show. We talk about movies, sci-fi, action. We like to call them dick flicks. It's a good time. And alongside for this good time with me is Mr. Ricky Carmona, the Afro spokesman himself. How are you doing, Ricky?
What it do, people? What's poppin'? Rhea! It's been a minute, girl.
It has been a minute.
It's good to see you again.
It's great to see you.
Word.
It's like, I feel like we've grown.
I feel like time has passed.
It's like we're starting school in the fall.
Can I tell you something?
I talked to
my mom today, and she was like, oh, yeah, you know, now you're back in town, and then next week you're going back to work. Make sure you wear something new when you go back to work. I was like, Mom, nobody cares about anymore.
That's such a cute little momism, though.
It totally is. She meant
wear fresh underwear and wear a new outfit.
Like, somebody's going to be like, hey, man, are those new jeans?
You look good.
Wait a second. What'd you do? Did you go shopping while we were...
See? She knows what she's talking about. So you went on tour with some of your fellow writers
that
on Tosh.0.
That is correct. It was fantastic. It was a great time. Shout out people from the show. People from this show. People listening to this show. Came out to some of the shows. They came out in Portland. They came out in Seattle. And I can't thank you enough for doing that. That was absolutely fantastic. One of our listeners, Zena, came to a show in Seattle, bought me a bag of popcorn. Unpopped popcorn, no stink included, so I can throw some stank
on
it.
You can throw your own stank
on now.
That is beautiful and disgusting.
I watched Stolen last night with said popcorn. So much stank on Stolen that I just put that on there.
Yeah.
Put that on
you
there.
You just put some Stolen stank on there.
Put some Stolen.
Which is a beautiful segue, Ricky, because on this episode of Wham Bam Pow, we will have a review of the dick flick Stolen, which is available on Netflix Watch Instant. And there will be spoilers for our review, which is near the end of our show.
Yes, it is.
So you should go ahead and watch that movie, then come on back to us, or just listen to it if you don't give a crap about being spoiled on Stolen.
If you don't want your
Nick Cage
time stolen from you.
Yes.
Is that a spoiler alert on my review right there?
No. I don't think that it is. Spoilers upon spoilers. But yes, there will be spoilers ahead for that, and then we're going to come back with some movie news. The things you can use in reviews. I can't remember how it goes. And also, we're going to have a Movies That Made Us with Mr. Jake Fogelnest when we come back. All right, we're back with some news, reviews, and things you can use. That's
there
what
it
is.
There
I
it
got
is.
It. I
heard
it.
I heard it.
To take Butcher over here. So we've got some recent movie news. One thing I was reading about today, a couple days ago, is number one, Robert Downey Jr. is the highest paid actor in Hollywood.
He makes
$75 million a year. So started from Chaplin, now he's here. Started from less than zero, now he's everything.
Started from Chaplin, now he's here. God damn it, Rio.
Chaplin is a great movie, though.
You know what? I've seen it twice. The first time, too young. Just, like, bored the whole time.
Yes.
Second,
I remember, like, just dance with the breadsticks more.
Yeah, the second time, I was like, this isn't happy. I thought Chaplin was, like, all happy and shit.
No. Very sad.
And I think now I'm at the right age where I can fully appreciate...
Sad clown.
Sir Richard Attenborough's...
Absolutely. Nature documentary, Chaplin. But Robert Downey Jr. is really good in that, and he was still in his drug phase, so it's kind of amazing that he was able to pull that performance off
for sure.
In the midst of that craziness.
Yeah, he was in the shit at that point. That was when he came back. People were like, hey, Robert Downey Jr. is still alive.
Yeah,
damn.
Oh,
he's still alive and not in prison.
It's post alive or dead question, but pre sleeping in a toddler's bedroom.
Yes,
by accident. But he apparently is open to the idea of an Iron Man 4. Which now, I guess this all hinges on how the popularity of Avengers Age of Ultron, right?
Yeah, I think that movie, until we see like footage of it. That movie is like at fucking almost, I wouldn't say Star Wars peak fandom, but people are like, they can't do wrong with that movie right
now. I mean,
then.
It's insane what people are like, because the Ultron, right?
Mm-hmm.
Visuals came out recently and people were saying like, well, I guess James Spader isn't going to be a piece of cardboard. And people were like losing their minds just about a helmet.
Yeah.
A helmet.
Is he in that suit? Is that what's going on?
I think so. I mean, I think he's supposed to seem as though he's in that suit.
Got you.
I don't know if the old Spades is going to be able to pop back in there. But you know, I don't know that we've talked about this. Just the because Robert Downey Jr. and James Spader have appeared on film together. Quite often.
Yes, I believe in a movie we reviewed here, Tough Turf.
Exactly, Tough Turf. They've also appeared, against each other in Less Than Zero. And if you guys have not seen that film, I believe I've recommended it on this show previously.
That's a winner.
It is a winner and a half.
Jamie Gertz, where you at?
Yes. Hello, Jamie Gertz. My name is Ricky. but also, brilliant hair. James Spader just has such great hair.
Yeah.
Had such great hair.
Yes,
indeed.
I'm
so sorry, Mr. Spader. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think Iron Man can have a fourth movie? Because I feel like the third
absolutely.
One, it made so much money, and I know that is literally all that matters in Hollywood. I just feel like four would be the end.
It depends on... The thing that Marvel's doing that's really fucking smart is they get an actor that mm-hmm. everybody really likes, and it's not always, top tier. Over now, they're starting to pull in these top tier people. And then they will either get a writer, we're like, ooh, holy shit, or they'll get a director, we'll be like, ooh, holy shit. So even if they get Robert Downey Jr., that's enough. Fuck it, he's back.
Sure. You know?
If they get Robert Downey Jr. and, let's say, Shane Black again.
David Fincher.
Somebody along those lines. If David Fincher, I'm throwing my wallet right here.
I mean, that would be great. If Iron Man 4 was written and directed by David Fincher, I would be in the front row.
Absolutely.
And I never sit in the front row because I hate the front row.
And I don't know how far after Iron Man 4 will be happening after Avengers
10?
Age of Getting Fucking Paid or whatever. I believe it's called Iron Man 4 Getting Fucking Paid.
Getting Paid.
Yeah.
I believe it's Iron Man 4, $75 million a year. Well, in more sort of comic book hero news spinoff, keeping it goings.
Yeah. In my house, we call that the real news.
The real news, yes. On to the real news. The Amazing Spider-Man 3, that release date got moved back to 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Not a necessarily a good sign for Spider-Man, the Amazing, excuse me, Mr. Amazing.
Thank you.
Spider-Man.
Thank you.
But they did move up the Sinister Six to 2016, which is a movie about Electro, Rhino, and Green Goblin. Now, I do believe we have hit peak comic book movies if we're just making movies about villains.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like seems like they're slowly trying to get rid of Spider-Man with that one.
Yeah.
All that money went into Spider-Man 2. Like, so much goddamn promotion for it. Everybody right away was like, oh, we don't like this movie.
It really did not do well.
And they're like, oh, well, we don't know when the next one's coming out, so don't worry. We'll figure it out.
Hey, remember how there's like two villains in this one and you don't really give a shit about this movie? We're going to make a movie about them.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to be really into it.
At first, they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to make another Spider-Man movie. Because then after that movie, then these villains we never heard of, they're going to be in the next movie.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, going to be villains.
Yeah.
So,
We're going to push Spider-Man back. What about these villains?
Try this.
Huh? You guys like this instead?
This feels a little bit... Well, I hesitate to say make this sort of comparison because I think the thing I'm going to compare it to is actually doing well.
Okay.
If people wanted it. But it's almost like AM Taco Bell. Hey, why don't you just eat it all the time? You're thinking about it anyway, so just watch this movie about just villains.
Yeah,
you don't care.
You don't care, right?
It's just B-roll from
That would be great.
And then for Comic-Con, the new Hobbit, which I couldn't find. I was doing my research today.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of time to do research because I forgot to announce this up top.
Okay.
I quit my day job.
No, damn!
I quit my day job, everyone. I appreciate... Hey, I didn't quit it because I'm being paid $75 million a year.
Nope.
I quit it in hopes of eventually, when I'm 200 years old, to have $75 in my bank account.
Rhea, did you hit it and quit it?
I hit it and I quit.
Yeah, you did. That's what's up.
Yep. I hit it and I quit it. So I had a bunch of time to do research, and I'm sure immediately somebody listening to this right now is going to be like, well, I know exactly the answer to that. Mm. I'm sorry. I couldn't find it. Mm. I was trying to watch Stolen. I was trying to get unemployment, which I'm not going to get. Trying to do all these things. Is this the last Hobbit? It's like part 20.
This is the last Hobbit. This is the
it
last
is?
One. This is
okay.
the last Hobbit.
This is Battle of Five Armies.
Battle of the Five Armies, yes. Sounds almost like a shout, like a Wu-Tang Shaolin thing.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Almost like it.
Almost.
Ricky,
they were so
you
close.
Can relate anything to the Wu-Tang. That is like your superhuman skill.
Well, you know, that's.
When you're at the end of the movie eating shawarma, it's because you related every villain to the Wu-Tang and you killed them that way.
I'm hoping when I'm eating shawarma and the camera pans like to my left and then all around that it's like RZA, yep. Jizza,
yeah.
Inspector Deck.
And it looks just like coffee and cigarettes and then Bill Murray gives you guys some coffee.
Oh, man, that would be so great. That would be on point.
So you saw Desolation of Smog, yes?
Desolation of Smog.
Smog, sorry. Smog.
No, it's okay. Sorry.
Montreal.
If we're
going to
pronounce Montreal, right?
Can't do it. So are you looking forward to this one?
Yes.
Okay.
The second one was actually really good.
It got you back on board.
It got me back on board. It was a really good action. It was a really good Lord of the Rings movie for kids.
Yes.
A little bit more serious, which helped. It seems like they got a lot of the... There's no, yeah, you don't need to see him wash dishes in this one. You don't need to see him sing about washing dishes.
Sure.
You know what? There's no fucking dishes
ain't
in
no
this
dishes
movie.
Ain't in no this
dishes
in this movie.
Ain't no dishes in this movie, girl. it was really great. There's a couple sequences in it that kind of reminded me of like, oh, yeah, this is why I love the Lord of the Rings franchise.
Yes. Oh, that's
there's
good.
There's like
to hear.
Two of them in particular. One is obviously the dragon sequence. And then there's a great action sequence when that starts off them in battle in like some forest, and then they end up in these barrels and going down this river, and you're like, holy shit, this has been a fucking great great sequence. How many times can I say sequence?
Well, you could also say sequins.
I thought about saying sequins.
Because I feel like they might be wearing sequins. Well, Ricky's on board with it, the Battle of the Five Armies.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. I'm hoping it's going to be good.
Well, it's a big Christmas release coming out on December 17th of this year. So you guys, let us know what you think about it.
Make that Santa paper.
Yeah, make that Christmas money. Something that's relevant specifically to my interest, and if, you know, we have the best fans, because last week, Lauren, I believe was her name. It was Lauren. sent me a Lego set of the DeLorean that also came with Marty and Doc. And now that I'm unemployed, I'm going to make all three versions.
Goddamn right you are. You
I'm
better.
Just, putting it off till next week, but you'll see an Instagram of it. I might act it out. There was a gentleman that follows me on Instagram that did act out a sequence. It was great. I really enjoyed it. It was super fun.
May I ask a question about this?
Sure. Back to
the, is it a Lego thing or is it a model?
It's Lego.
It's Lego.
It's a Lego model, if you will.
Okay.
I'm not sure that that's the technical term for it.
For
but
sure.
It's all Lego, and then it's little Lego guys
okay,
of
that's
Marty
it,
and
that,
Doc.
That was going to be my question, is it comes with Marty and Doc.
And you can make all three DeLoreans.
That's awesome.
You can make all three.
That's amazing.
So the third one has the little engine retrofit thing.
Does it have a little Mary Steen version?
It doesn't have a little Mary Steen version with a little bustle on the back.
Yeah,
that would be adorable
would be
for a little
great.
Lego guy.
That would be pretty great.
Well, call up Lego and tell them they're not representing gender equally.
Mr. or Mrs. Lego. I don't know why. I know she
will.
Ain't there.
But there's a new Back to the Future Marty McFly 1/6 scale Hot Toys figure, and it is heavy. It looks great. I don't know if you're familiar with these toys, Ricky. Are you?
The Hot Toys?
Hot Toys?
They Which
make
ones are they?
To scale, like, I mean, their figures are lifelike. Action figures they make. I mean, the clothes are clothing.
Gotcha.
He comes with the skateboard.
I've seen the, I think it's the Sideshow Collectibles, the Weta Sideshow Collectibles. I'm a big fan of that line.
These
I don't
are very
know.
Similar.
Not,
I mean, they come with a bunch of different hands.
Yeah.
Like, he has the backpack.
That's pretty dope.
The JVC camcorder. Like, the headphones.
Really?
Everything.
The camcorder.
Yes.
That's on
everything.
Point. I respect that. I like that move very
it's
much.
It's amazing. Little Ray-Bans. And there's a special version that comes with the guitar that he plays in the Pinheads. So, man, if anybody
I
wants
like
to spend, I think, probably $500, you should probably just donate it to the show. But if you have $1,000, donate $500, buy me that toy. I really don't need it, but it is amazing. And a lot of people have sent it to me.
Oh, I was about to say, you're one of the people now, Rhea, where I don't send you stuff anymore because I feel I would be insulting.
Yeah.
How would Rhea Butcher
It's really not insulting me.
About
it's insulting
this.
Everyone else that knows because my mom sent it to me. My mom sent it to me, so that's how cool my mom is. And then I think probably the last two things, real quick. Mm-hmm. Ricky, have you seen the trailer to the movie Dear White People?
I saw the teaser trailer for that, for this movie.
Did we talk about it on the show? I feel like we did. If we didn't, I want to talk about it.
I don't know if we did, but I would like to talk about it again.
I'm like really
we...
excited for this movie.
Yeah, I'm into it. It's a great
and
idea.
I can't wait to go see this movie and then come out of the movie and be like, I really like that movie, and then shut the hell up. Because I'm a white person. And it's not my turn. I'm just supposed to go in there and learn and listen and understand and evolve. And then shut up. That's what I'm supposed to do.
please start tweeting and tumbling that out everywhere.
That's what I'm going to do.
Because I feel like one of the things that's going to happen from this movie is that there's going to be a lot of people.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of white people making think pieces
speaking
about
of, oh, yeah, I'm going to get on.
So what's up with this? Is this really? Yes, it is. Shut up. You know what you should do? You should let a... No, don't stop. Just shut up.
Just
you're white.
Every once in a while, it's good to take it. Hey, take a knee.
Yeah, retweet black people and their thoughts on it. Don't write a think piece about it, white people. Yeah. Shut up. Listen to me. I'm a white person. Just shut the hell up for like 5 minutes. Okay, so the last thing that I will bring up, that I saw the new Neil Blomkamp movie. I didn't see any trailers or anything. I just saw some Comic-Con stuff, photos, which is called Chappie. Have you heard of this?
I have heard of this movie,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, it's about a boy who is sort of found by a family that I'm presuming is Hugh Jackman and Sigourney Weaver.
What?
So I'm into it. Then they find he's, like, super gifted because he's a robot.
Mm.
What do you think? Are you... still okay? Are you, like, back on board with Blomkamp, or are you scared because of Elysium?
I am not scared because of Elysium. He's two movies in. It's very hard for somebody to come out the gates swinging a home run after home run. And granted, I mean, the problems I had with Elysium, like I said...
Clearly studios.
Yeah, I don't. Clearly. Yeah, I just can't put... I'm not going to put that all on him.
Sure.
I think they're trying to sell movie tickets, and when you're doing that, you got to make a movie that's...
It's a bunch of white people.
I was going to say generalize it, but I don't know if you know this in the hood. Generalize means white people.
Yeah, white people.
So I'm actually still on board with it. Is Michael Fassbender in that movie at all for some reason?
I mean, he might be. That's not a name that I saw.
Maybe I'm confusing that with another movie. Or maybe it was actually Sigourney Weaver. I remember hearing a name in the casting and maybe I'm like, all right, cool, man.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that.
I mean, the...
Sigourney Weaver, that's great.
I have my problems with Jodie Foster, but I enjoyed that casting in Elysium. It was one of the parts that I enjoyed the most.
Yeah.
And clearly he is, now that he's moving through the studio system and has bigger budgets and, you know, has the cachet to get the right... He's getting the right people in his movies.
For sure.
Which I super respect. Like, putting Sigourney Weaver in anything...
It's great.
...is great. And putting her in a sci-fi movie is even better.
Yeah. I have Jodie Foster, again, that Elysium's so weird when the movie's just like, okay, that looks great, and then it's just like a little off.
Yeah.
Like, off, why was that not?
There are so many things in Elysium that were just like two ticks
just
away.
Just a little,
because having
just,
that female villain in her, that you rarely get to see that, where she's just like, just a villain.
Yeah, she's
just
like a villain. She hardly gets cast in that role. The only thing I can think of right now off the top of my head where I was like, oh man, she's evil and great, is... what's the fucking one, the Spike Lee one? The Inside Man.
Oh, yes.
Where she's like, I think she just works for the mayor's office or something, but she is. You can
tell.
I forgot
about Inside Man.
I am not fucking. That's a woman. She's almost like a cleaner.
Oh.
She comes in and makes sure that everything is, we were never here.
Yeah, she's really good at that.
She's great at that.
Yep.
She's great at that. I would love to see her in more roles like that.
Yeah, I wish.
Excuse me.
We will end on this, a proclamation that I am trying to change the world for women.
Yes.
Because there should be able to be not only more female action stars from the get-go, but there should also be able to be able to be? There
be
should
able.
Also be...
A biblically?
Montreal. There should also be seasoned female action stars.
Yes.
I mean, she got to do The Brave One, got a lot of problems with that movie. But, like, I would love to see her kicking ass, not Expendables style, mm-hmm. but Harrison Ford style.
For sure.
He was kicking ass until he was in his, like, late 40s and 50s.
Absolutely.
She's up there. She could do some sort of clear and present danger type stuff.
I'd be into
that. That would be great.
That would actually
so
be really
dope. So, Hollywood, call me at 555. Anyway, that is our news for this week. And up next, Ricky is going to be talking to Mr. Jake Fogelnest of the Fogelnest Files about the movie that made him.
Hey, folks, this is Kevin Allison of the Max Fun podcast, Risk, where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. If you've never heard Risk, why not start with our 150th episode? It's an all-star lineup of jaw-dropping true stories from Aisha Tyler.
This being the 90s, I was drinking malt liquor. Don't fuck you and your racist ass. You're all racist for laughing.
Tom Lennon.
Whenever I walk into a place that's called Mr. Binky's, I'm expecting Armenian Bumblebee to be like, I got jack-off pills for you. Yeah!
Jay Moore.
Me, public school in New Jersey. I didn't need to know anything because everybody knew you got pregnant by peeing in each other's butts. That's how we knew.
Andy Dick.
We've had a monogamous relationship for 5 years. I barely cheated on her.
And The Daily Show's Jessica Williams.
Oh my God, I have like this need to be responsible for some reason that doesn't really benefit me. So like, Jessica, clean it up.
Look for Risk on iTunes or of course, at MaximumFun.org.
Risk!
Welcome back to Wham Bam Pow. This is Ricky Carmona. What's up, people? We are doing a part of the show now, a segment that we have on Wham Bam Pow that we love. It's a segment that we call Movies That Made Us. And here what we do is we talk about a movie that shaped us very much when we were growing up. We go back in those, it's like digging in the crates, digging in some vinyl, except we dig in some celluloid. Some film, if I can pronounce film, film, like that. And usually either Cameron, Rhea, or myself will discuss a movie that made us. Every once in a while, we will bring a special guest in who will talk about a movie that made them. And I said a boot right there, like I'm Canadian. I caught that. We bring someone in. I believe recently we had Emily Gordon on from The Meltdown to talk about Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. That movie was dope. That was great. And now we're very excited to bring in a gentleman who you may know from a wonderful podcast called The Fogelnest Files. Ladies and gentlemen, about a round of applause. A big old what it do was popping to Mr. Jake Fogelnest. Hey, Jake, what's popping?
Hello. First off, I should address the fact that I haven't been able to do an episode of my podcast because... And this is controversial. I don't know if I should talk about this, but
nah,
Jesse
Thorne. We like exposés. Say that shit, son.
Jesse Thorne has stolen all my microphones, and he sold all of my microphones to buy like some bow ties or something, and that's why I haven't been able to do an episode of it. I've been trying. I put out a statement saying it's because I'm actually really busy with actual show business.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is that Jesse Thorne stole the microphones from the Earwolf studio, traded them for a bunch of like bow ties and
dude,
stuff.
He's been walking and, around with some banging ass bow ties recently. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, I've seen some. I bet
like,
he has.
Where'd you get that from? And he gets all nervous and like, oh, he says some fancy words from some book I've never read and then just keeps on walking.
That Jesse Thorpe is all nervous and twitchy because he's walking around with bow ties because I can't do a podcast anymore because he stole everything. It's a nightmare. I'm starting a Kickstarter. I'm going to start a Kickstarter if people want to help to buy me some new microphones.
I like that.
That'd be great.
I like that. A Kickstarter to get some new microphones, and I say a Kickstarter to steal them goddamn bow ties from Jesse.
Yeah, I don't know. This is the ultimate heist movie.
Absolutely.
Stealing a bunch of bow ties from Jesse Thorne.
We can do the Heat bank robbery sequence in Jesse Thorne's closet, bruh.
Terrific.
So, Jake, let's go ahead and talk about the movie that has made you. I'm excited to hear about it because I'm a big fan of this director. but this is one of those few movies that I have not seen. So I'm excited to hear your take on it and to tell the listeners about why this is such an important movie in general and specifically more an important movie to you. So why don't you go ahead and tell us, Jake, what the movie is that made you?
The movie is Videodrome. I was talking to Rhea about this the other night, and she was like, movies that, you know, we were talking about, like, what's like a sci-fi movie that has shaped me. And I just remember seeing Videodrome, directed by David Cronenberg, on VHS, which I think usually I'm like, oh, you should see movies on 35 millimeter. You know, it's the best way to see them.
For sure.
But I actually think that maybe Videodrome is actually best viewed on a rental VHS tape. I think that's the ideal way to watch it. I got like a Criterion DVD, but it doesn't hold a candle to a rental VHS tape of Videodrome. It was one of those movies that, like, I put it on, and I was way too young to be watching it, I think. And it was completely, and it completely unnerved me. It was like, I'm not supposed to be watching this movie. And that actually runs sort of parallel to the plot of Videodrome.
Yes, the movie came the movie came out in 1983, I believe.
Yeah.
And how old were you when you saw it?
I think I probably saw it when I was about 9 or 10 years old. So not, you know, just a few years after it had come out, maybe 1989 or something. And it's interesting because, like, Twin Peaks was on television at the time, and I remember watching Twin Peaks and, you know, loving Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks was scary, but it wasn't like, oh, I shouldn't be watching this.
For sure.
Videodrome was a movie that, like, I shouldn't be watching. And I think that sort of does run parallel to the sort of the plot of the movie.
Absolutely. It's one of those Cronenberg movies. Like I said, I haven't seen it, but I know a little bit about it. And from the little bit of footage I've seen, even the pictures, I get uncomfortable when I see it. I'm like, oh, what is going on there? What is that? Why is that so fleshy?
There's something terrifying to me about the idea of a television signal that you're seeing a television signal that you're not supposed to see. I don't know why I find that concept so terrifying.
It's very terrifying.
In 1987, there was this thing called the Max Headroom broadcast signal intrusion.
Yes.
And what it was a guy, broke into the local Chicago PBS affiliate while Doctor Who was on the air and played a tape of, like, him in a Max Headroom mask. And it's actually, if you watch it now, it's kind of juvenile. He's saying a bunch of gibberish that only, you know, sort of makes sense to the weird person that decided to do it. And he, like, you know, just, it's just unnerving. And that terrified me as a kid, the idea that I could be watching TV and at any moment, the screen could change and it could be some lunatic showing something that I wasn't supposed to see.
Absolutely. And, absolutely.
And Videodrome is like that fear sort of come to life. It's like, you know, this guy, you know, is it's a genius idea. It's guys like a programmer in Canada of, like, you know, the Civic TV. He's looking for, like, hot, crazy TV shows, you know,
right,
they're maybe a little sexy. And then they, you know, he comes across this signal that's like the strangest. It's not a signal that humans are supposed to see.
Right.
It's a private signal. And it's clearly some, it's like somebody's broadcasting a snuff film. And then, you know, it becomes a whole thing, and then he's being brainwashed, and the Debbie Harry's there.
Yeah.
She's into rough sex. It's a heavy movie.
Yeah,
for,
there's a lot
for
going
anyone.
On.
Yeah, and I saw it again recently. They showed it I saw it for the first time on film at the CineFamily here in Los Angeles, and it's a great midnight movie. It was a midnight movie, and man, it's still, that movie still freaks me out in the best way. It really did shape me. Like,
when you
it's nuts.
the first time you saw it, were you just so much like, oh god damn, this is just some freaky shit, and I hope to never see it again? Or were you like, oh man, was the, like, the movie part of your brain already clicking, like, oh man, I want to know more about this guy, what this world all is, who's this David Cronenberg? Did this lead you immediately to other David Cronenberg films, or were you just like, oh man, I can't believe I got away with watching that?
Yeah, no, I think it was definitely, it definitely sort of led me to keeping an eye out on, you know, for other David Cronenberg films. I think he had like, he had made a bunch, but like I definitely remember seeking out like Scanners and stuff. Videodrome remains my favorite of his. Existenz is good too, you know, but I remember when Existenz came out, I was like, oh yeah, I want to go see the new David Cronenberg movie or Crash, which is, you know, demented in a completely different way.
Yeah,
but
totally.
I think what I really connected, with is just like the, I think it sort of prepared me. Twin Peaks was happening at the same time, but I think that like Videodrome sort of prepared me for David Lynch.
Huh. Yeah.
In a weird way. Did,
no, that
know?
Makes.
Because I definitely saw Videodrome like way before I saw Wild at Heart hadn't come out or Blue. I hadn't seen Blue Velvet yet. You know, like that set me up to sort of, you know, be able to handle the David Lynch movie.
For sure. I consider them both kind of in that same universe as well. David Lynch, David Cronenberg. If, you know, if somebody is, you know, living in a world and turns on a TV, something created by David Lynch is on, and they flip on the other channel, something created by David Cronenberg is on. I'm like, yeah, I can see that happening in this world.
I was definitely one of those kids that was like, I was way more fascinated and interested by like Videodrome than I was by, say, Star Wars or something.
Ah, yeah.
Like, I like Star Wars. Everybody likes Star Wars. It's Star Wars. But I, at the same time, I was just like, yeah, it's not, you know, if I'm going to get lost in some sort of weird adventure, I want it to be, you know, Videodrome. And that is why I will be not as financially successful as other people in show business for the rest of my life.
But you will have the true fans.
My sensibilities are going to be just that. And I've come to terms with that, and that's okay.
The first memory I have of David Cronenberg is actually Scanners as a kid, and not even seeing the movie, but being like at some, I'm from Chicago. Oh, I also kind of remember that Max Headroom event that you're talking about. But I was so much a kid, I was just kind of like, cool, Max Headroom. I didn't really realize, like, holy shit, that was
for
insane.
For some reason, when it happened, I understood the implications of it, because I remember I was living in Philadelphia, I was a kid, and there was a CBS Evening News report with Dan Rather, and Dan Rather explained the whole situation, and they showed the clip, and it terrified me, and because I understood the implications that they can break in onto the TV at any time and show me anything, and the bad people will get it, and I'm going to see the bad thing, and then what? And, like, you know, that really was a true fear of mine. It still is.
It's no, absolutely. I think it's, I think there was a, you could almost say that might have been like a running theme with like movies in the 80s. There was, well, there's obviously this one, Videodrome, Halloween 3, where people being controlled by that signal. And then a couple years later with They Live, where people are trying to use a signal now to actually save, to save society, to save Los Angeles.
I'm scared of signals. I find them terrifying.
Oh man! But yeah, I remember Scanners as a kid, and I just knew like, oh man, Ricky, we're not ready for any of that. There's no way that's gonna happen. And the first David Cronenberg movie that I really got into was The Fly.
Oh yeah, The Fly. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, that's like that's an insane remake, because The Fly, the 50s, you know, Fly is. You know, that's a B movie.
For sure, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And it's really kind of silly, and you know, it's wonderful. It is what it is. But then that they, you know, they made it, I guess 86 or 87, I'm not sure what year, and like that was a terrifying, I didn't see that movie because it looked too scary until I was like in my teens, and it's great. It's unbelievable, but like
yeah,
you know, to even just decide like, no, we're going to make The Fly, but we're going to make it real serious.
Yeah.
That's an insane decision.
Absolutely.
Like, no, the Fly, but played for drama, starring Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, there's no laughs in it at all.
Yeah, the movie's the pitch of the movie is it's about a human. He turns into a fly. Yes, we're going to play that as a stone-cold drama, as a terrifying drama. All right, cool. And then they tried to do it with The Blob, and that did not work as well.
Does not work as well at all.
It's like, we'll go as far as a serious drama about a human that turns into a fly.
Yeah.
But The Blob that eats people, you've lost us there.
The killer space jelly. We're going to check out on that one.
It's like if they were trying to, if they took like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. It's as if like Paul Thomas Anderson decided to make Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
I would watch that movie. He would have my money.
Well, of course I would. Maybe he should just do it. He could pull it off.
He should. He should. Absolutely. Totally he could. Well, Jake, man, thank you so much for coming on the show and and talking to me about this and our listeners, telling them about it. Check out Videodrome, everyone. It's a great movie. I actually looked it up on Netflix today to see if it was streaming to watch it, just so I could have a better conversation with you. Not available on Netflix.
There's a really good Criterion DVD of it. And it's out there, but it really, try to find that like, you know, old VHS.
That's the best
way to watch it.
That's a great point you made, because I really, as soon as you said that, I was like, oh yeah, absolutely. That's how I'd want to watch that movie. I want the whole process of pulling it out of the VHS sleeve, and I want it to come in some nasty black, nothing on the front box. I snap open, and there's just, it doesn't even need to say Videodrome on it.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be
It should say sports bloopers written on it. Like
George, it was a George Michael sports machine.
Yeah, it should be like, oh, I taped some episodes of George Michael sports machine. You put it on, it's Videodrome. And he's like, oh, I guess I watched this now.
Well, Jake, is there anything you'd like to plug before we let you go here?
I got stuff on Funny or Die. You just go to funnyordie.com. We have a lot of fun web content there.
There you go.
Videos with celebrities. It's a great website. Check it out. It's Will Ferrell's behind it. You'll like it. Funny or Die.
Excellent. I believe I have heard of this little website called Funny or Die, and his name is Will Ferrell. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, he wears a big hat.
I love that guy. I listened to an episode of your podcast for the first time today, and I love
it. Oh, cool. Yeah.
I listened to your year-in-review one. It was fantastic.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's a good thing. It'll be back in a couple of weeks. The Jesse Thorne situation is dire. In addition to him stealing the microphones to buy more bow ties, and honestly, he could do a pledge drive or something if he needed more bow ties.
You're right. He knocks it out with those. He kills it with those.
Exactly. I haven't been able to do the podcast. I've been very, very busy with stuff I can't talk about yet. But the podcast will be back very, very soon. Everything is cool. I still want to do it, and it's going to be fun. But it'll be back very soon. I've just been on a little hiatus for a couple weeks, and it'll be a couple weeks, and we'll come back.
We look forward to it being back. Thank you very much for joining us, Jake. Jake Folgenes, ladies and gentlemen, listen to his great podcast, The Folgenes Files. And we'll be right back after this. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, Ross.
Hey, Carrie.
Hey, it's me, your co-host.
Oh, yeah, we have a show, don't we?
We have a show.
Oh, no, Ross
oh,
and
no,
Carrie.
Ross and Carrie. It's about undercover investigations of fringe groups.
Yeah, like the Tony Alamo Ministries cult.
Yep, that's led by a pedophile.
He's in jail.
Also, we became Mormons. We became Raelians, which is a UFO group.
That's right. We joined the Ordo Templi Orientis.
Yes, the 9/11 truthers. We got cupped, we got acupunctured, we got Reiki. Pretty much anything that you've heard of and been like, that doesn't sound quite right. We've done that.
So you don't have to do it.
So if you want to hear about this, and you should, then go to MaximumFun.org.
Oh, welcome back. How great was that, having Jake Folgenes on the show talking to us about Videodrome? We should all see that movie. I'm going to make an effort to see that movie because I like to watch
a scary ass movie. I love me some Cronenberg, and that one was a tough one. The thing that I like about it is that it is still relevant now.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it still makes sense.
I haven't, and I talked to Jake about this, I haven't seen it. But just from what like we were saying, it's one of those movies that I haven't seen, but I've seen enough of it to know what it's about. And yeah, it feels very relevant today.
Oh, yeah.
Very
for
relevant
sure.
today.
Well, it was a beautiful conversation.
I had a great time. Jake was great.
Sorry I wasn't able to make it.
Oh, that's all right. We talked about you.
I know. No, what a bad person I am. I can't pronounce anything. It's pretty bad. Well, Ricky, it's time.
Here.
It's time for our review. It's time for our review of a sort of off-Broadway. Midnight in the Broadway. Garden of Good and Evil kind of a production. We're going to review a movie called Stolen. It's on Netflix Watch Instant right now, so you can definitely watch it on your phone or your Talkboy or whatever you want to.
Watch it on your phone.
Watch it
in
on
a
your
subway.
Phone, in public. With the speakers on. No headphones. No.
Oh, man.
Yes, it's available on Netflix Watch Instant, and we are going to just openly talk about it. So if you're concerned about being spoiled on any plot points, Nick Cage-isms, anything like that, just give it a pause, watch the movie, and then come on back. Or if you don't care, you don't care, and just listen to it. So, awesome. So this movie, Stolen, it came out in 2012. It's directed by Simon West, who also directed Con Air. Mm-hmm. Shocking. Because these movies are similar.
Yeah.
The Expendables 2, The Mechanic, the remake, reboot, which I actually really liked. I watched it more than once.
I heard that one's actually not that bad.
It's pretty good.
It's
I kind of want to go back.
Jason
Statham and, oh God, I'm always blanking on his name.
I know who you're talking about.
He was in 6 Feet Under and he played Russell and...
Ben
Foster.
Thank you,
Ricky.
You're welcome.
He's dating someone that's hot and I can't remember who it is and I was like, you're kidding me. Anyway.
Is it Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, it was Nicolas Cage.
Or was it Jason Statham? God damn it.
It was Jason Statham and Nick Cage. He's dating them both at the same time. Polyamorous son of a bitch.
He's a player.
So he directed The Mechanic and also Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
Wow.
I've never seen any of the tombs be rated, have you?
Oh, yeah. They're actually, of their time, they're
sure.
fun. They're
all right.
fun. Okay. I didn't know that Simon West did all of those.
He did all of those.
God damn. I was like, he's the guy who did The Phantom. Boom. That's it. That's as far.
Yeah.
Did he do that one?
I don't know. I only went back as far as Tomb Raider because that's all I cared about. I feel like if I saw Phantom, I would have written it down, but you could be totally right.
Oh, shit.
Sorry. Again, my research, a little faulty.
No,
spending
that's...
some time with some people's court today.
Not faulty at all. Not faulty at all.
It's also written by David Guggenheim, who didn't write a lot of other stuff. Basically
really?
Just wrote Safe House.
Which one was
that's
Safe House?
That's the oh my God, Green Lantern.
Ryan Ridley's our friend.
You guys, we're killing it.
We are on point right now.
Whenever Cameron's gone, we tighten up the show. It's like we're on NPR.
This is exactly, man, if NPR was like this, well, shit.
It is. I can't think of his last name.
Ryan, no, I just had it.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
Good
God. God. Damn it.
I don't, you know, here's, I'm going to make a note.
Yes.
Because I feel like I've got to be annoying the shit out of some people.
Yeah, then we're doing our job.
I used to listen to podcasts, and I would think to myself, I would be so good at this. Because my knowledge, my recollection of things is razor sharp. And then you get yourself in front of a microphone, and it just all goes away.
It all goes out the
it
window.
It just all goes out the way, and it's all just Ryan Riddler's.
In my defense, there's a lot of R's in there. There's a lot of R's in there.
It
a
really
lot.
Is. So this movie stars Nick Cage, Malin Ackerman, Josh Lucas, and Danny Houston. Mm. Danny Houston.
Danny
love that
Houston.
Guy. I wish he was in more stuff.
Yes.
I really do.
Yes.
He was great in the 5 minutes he was in Children of Men.
Oh, that's right. God damn.
He's great in this little movie that not a lot of people have seen, I don't think. This movie called Birth.
I have not seen that
movie. Have
you
ever seen that movie?
Have you told me about that movie?
I feel like I have. I can't remember any of the stuff other than what it's about. Danny Houston is in it. Nicole Kidman is in it.
You have told me about this movie.
And
yes.
that it is, I would say that it is sci-fi just because it is a very distant sort of premise that
okay.
it is. But the sound design, it was recommended to me based on the sound design.
Oh, of wow.
I went to art school, so.
Okay. I was going to say, what's the
sound design?
What it nerdy is, friend of yours told you this?
Yeah, a painter. An oil painter. With a beard that was two different colors. So, might I recommend the movie Birth? It's pretty interesting. Nicole Kidman is great in it because she's acting off of a child as though he is an adult.
Ah.
So, she's doing some serious work in that movie.
Wow.
And also, the kid is doing some serious work.
All right.
So, I would recommend it. But on to this masterpiece. The quick plot is a former thief frantically searches for his missing daughter who has been kidnapped and locked in the trunk of a taxi.
Mm.
But to be a little more specific, he is like a... It reminds me a little bit of Thief, because they're like crazy bank robbers.
At one point,
yeah.
he pulls out the thief thing.
He pulls out the thief thing.
I was like,
this
is why Rio wanted us to watch this.
This is the thief thing.
This is the thief thing.
But it opens with a fairly interesting, you know, sabotage on a jewelry heist or whatever.
Yeah.
A very long and drawn out sequence
that
there.
That sequence goes on for a minute.
It's a while. Then you're like, is this what the movie is? Is it about these jewel thieves? No, it's about something else. So he wrongs Josh Lucas. He shoots him in the leg.
Yeah. I was in favor of that move.
Yeah, man.
Come on.
It's a good move.
Absolutely.
There's some really weird sexist banter going on between Malin Ackerman and that other guy that's in everything, looking like a pirate.
That's right. Mr. Lost guy.
So then Nick Cage goes to jail. He sacrifices himself. He doesn't snitch. He's not a rat.
Mm-mm.
He goes to jail for 8 years, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he's let out, this is my favorite first point of this movie. And I think the first time that I watched it, I was like, what the shit is this movie? Because that the actor that is also in the first season of Fringe, who's playing like an FBI agent in this movie,
yes,
says to Nick Cage almost immediately upon his departure from jail, "I hope you are raped every day." I don't know that anyone says that to anyone else. I've never been in the FBI, and I've also never been in prison. But I highly doubt that anyone really regularly says when...
Right when you walk out.
Right when you rock, I hope you're raped every day.
And you take that first deep breath.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, coffee?
Yeah.
Very strange. So then, you know, he's in the world, and almost immediately... Well, first he goes to see his daughter that he hasn't seen forever.
Yeah.
She doesn't care.
No. Surprisingly. Surprisingly.
Yeah, super weird.
Wow.
I wonder what's going to be my worst part.
Yeah.
And then they part ways. She goes into a taxi cab. She's immediately kidnapped by Josh Lucas, mm-hmm, trying to get his revenge. He has, you know, hidden his body so the FBI doesn't think he's dead. Then we launch into a crazy just chase of, it's just Nick Cage versus the city of New Orleans to try to find his daughter. So that's basically it. Do you have any plot points to add, Ricky?
No, that's about what happens.
That's about it.
In this movie.
High and octane.
For those of you who are still concerned whether or not you will understand what happens in this movie, the screenplay is written. This is one of those times where you watch a movie when you go, hey, wait a second, they're telling me exactly what's happening in this frame, and then they're telling me what's going to happen right after this scene is over. I mean, usually, like, when a character talks, you want them to move action forward.
Right.
But, I mean, they're fucking holding your hand, putting you in the car, putting your seatbelt on, and driving and explaining to you as you get to the next fucking
scene. And asking you if you're okay.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's a little intense. So
I knew right away. I'm sorry. I wanted to add on to what you were saying. You had the first moment when he gets out of prison. When it's, first of all, the credit sequences, the opening credit sequence, whenever a credit sequence is showing you the job of the person does in that movie, right away I was like, hey, wait a second.
Is this a PSA?
Yeah, what's going on here?
Are we in driving school right now?
And then it cuts to, and then like, you know, like a few moments in, it cuts to the scene of Malin Ackerman and the other guy, and they have that weird conversation that comes out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. It's like out of left field.
There isn't even like you get some sense of their friendship, and then this reveals, oh, this is how close they are.
No.
They can make these jokes.
Like 10 minutes in, she goes, this is why I like working with dudes.
Yeah, I was,
because they come up with funny words for vagina. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
You could have started it that way instead of 10 minutes into him just saying the worst stuff.
So I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
This movie does sort, it's one of those movies, like you're saying, Ricky, that like takes a lot. I would say takes a lot for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they forget that maybe not everybody thinks the way that the screenwriter thinks.
Oh, for sure, absolutely.
That, like, you should maybe set up a world a little bit.
Yeah.
Give us a little bit of a world instead of like, ha-ha, this is funny, right? Or this is weird, or this is crazy.
I got the impression that this movie back in like the 90s, like in 96 or 97, strong opening weekend.
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't know it was kind of like, I didn't realize that until after the fact. I was just like, back in the day, if Nick Cage would have made this movie, we'd have been like, man, have you guys seen fucking Stolen yet? That shit's going to be on point.
I mean,
can't wait for part two.
I wonder what happened, because honestly, I mean, Con Air, I think, is great.
I think at that point, I might have been Nick Cage summer movied out.
Sure. But as an action movie, as a bad B action movie that's fun, it builds a world. It's a cheesy world, but it builds one. It gives you enough time to find out what's happening. People are talking to each other. I feel like this director did Con Air. So mm-hmm. I feel like he just, that was it for him. Like
yeah.
he made Con Air and that was like the good one.
He had.
Because The Expendables 2 is not fun.
Oh, no, that movie's not good
at
all.
I did not like it at all.
No, no.
I tried to watch it 7 times. I'm not even kidding. I just put it on and it would lose my interest. I couldn't even tell you what happened in the movie.
I'm not a fan of the Expendables franchise. I've been disappointed each time.
Yeah. I enjoyed the first one, but I saw Machete after it.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoyed it more.
Ah,
and I wanted to go see The Expendables to begin with.
I think so, Simon West, what you're saying, I think he didn't have, because Con Air had Bruckheimer and Simpson and those guys
yes,
behind him.
Yes, you're right.
And he didn't have them there. And
plus,
I think that
like,
was like a huge
crazy cast.
Yeah, oh, that's of, yeah. I mean, fucking yeah. everybody's in that movie.
Yes.
That's a magnolia of...
that's a magnolia of shitty
it's a
action
magnolia.
Movies. Wow, that's a good quote. That should be on the DVD cover. That should be on the VHS cover. What are we talking about? So, Ricky, let's do worst parts first. What's your worst part?
Oh, man. You know, I am upset because now everybody, we all kind of know why Nick Cage is making these movies. And before I'd be like, hey, goddamn, yeah, man, that sucks. Nick Cage, get your fucking financial problems figured out, please, so you don't have to keep doing these movies
Ricky, he
anymore.
Ricky, he's an artist.
God, I'm sure he is. I believe he is.
He is an artist who is working in, like, finger paint.
But at one point, he made some bad financial decisions, and
that's
he
true.
Has to make these movies
he
now.
He bought, like, a $1 million pyramid.
To pay. What are you doing, bro? What are you doing? I shouldn't be thinking about your bad financial mistakes when I'm watching your movie. I should be thinking, hey, man, you'll get him next time. Or, oh, man, that was fucking great.
Yeah.
That was just like, come on, Nick
so
Cage.
So this was too hard for you.
Well, it was rough.
All right.
It was rough.
I'm sorry, you are Nick Cage.
You are leaving Las Vegas, Nick Cage. When I saw that
Moonstruck,
movie, I was...
Nick Cage.
Moonstruck, Nick Cage.
Wild at Heart, Nick
Wild
Cage.
At Heart. I would put Wild at Heart, Nick Cage, over Moonstruck. I would say fucking Leaving Las Vegas and Wild at Heart, Nick Cage. Face Off, Nick Cage. That's who you are. Come on. I want that Nick Cage back.
Yeah.
All that being said, I heard Joe is supposed to be great.
Joe? When is that coming out?
I think it just came out.
Oh, okay. I've fallen back on my Nick Cage these days. I'm a big Nick Cage fan. So that's your worst part is Nick Cage in this movie? Not so much in this movie, but just the idea of Nick Cage having to make this movie?
For sure, yeah. Because I mean, we've seen enough movies like this where pretty early on in the movie, I was like, I know what I'm getting out of this movie here.
Yes.
So it's hard for me to say, oh, yeah, the fucking lighting was off.
Yeah, the lighting was pretty bad.
Josh Lucas, though, is other level terrible.
Hang on.
All right. Okay.
Oh, you were saying terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. This is going to be a good review.
Other level terrible in this movie.
All right. So my worst part, to narrow it down, is the daughter. Like,
yeah.
The way it's handled. Clearly, this movie is like, okay, Taken did really well.
Mm-hmm.
How can we make Taken again?
Without calling it Taken.
Without calling it Taken.
Stolen.
Stolen. We got it. Now the next one is Gotten. Gotcha. But,
Where'd it go?
The thing is, like, Nick Cage already made this movie, and he made it really well, and it was called Drive Angry.
There you go.
Because I loved Drive Angry. So good. If you guys have not seen that movie, see it. I'm not even kidding. Have a good time. It's super fun. It's so good. But also, this is what bothered me about Taken is it's not macho. It's actually sexist that like this daughter. I just don't buy it. Like there's no way that is the least believable interaction of two people in that entire movie.
Absolutely.
That an 8-year-old daughter would speak to her father that way in person, whom she hasn't seen in 8 years because he's been in prison.
Yeah.
Because he, like, it just is not, there's no way. There's no humanity in it, like, at all. It makes no sense. And then she's, like, acting like she's 20. It's super weird.
Yeah.
Really don't like the daughter part. It just bothered me. Also, how was she able to dial through a hole?
Oh, Jesus.
Come on now.
Come on now.
All right.
Come
so, Ricky, we got to do our best parts now.
Okay.
But that was my worst part is the daughter. Like, just at least make it. She can be angry with him.
Yeah.
But, like, get somebody that can, like, commit to the. Make it realistic that, like, Dad, you were in prison. I just don't know if I can,
yeah,
like actual words humans
for
would
sure
say to each
no
other.
No, absolutely.
Instead of it just being like, oh, she's a cutesy little doll that's angry. You know, like that's silly.
Yeah. When she opens silly. When she opens the door, when he comes back from prison, and that bland ass
Rick. Yeah.
It's like he was gone at the store for a little too long,
right,
when he comes back.
Or like he just missed her birthday party.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know, like he's been in jail.
Yeah, yeah, for years of your
it
formative
was his fault.
Life.
I understand that you're mad, but you should register anger.
Yeah.
Or
yeah
something. So Ricky, what was your best part?
Man, I like Danny Houston's hat.
Oh,
that
man
was cool.
That's it, Danny Houston's no, hat.
I liked his hat. And I guess, am I crazy on thinking this? Did he really just burn the money? Like, that's it? Nick Cage, he was like telling, like, when he was like, when Josh Lucas was on the phone, like, give me the money. Or when other
sure
people would ask him on the money, he was like, hey, man, I burned it.
I don't think
it
that he did. Here's the thing. Spoiler alert, listeners. I didn't get to finish the movie today, and I've watched it before, but it was a while ago. I've been arguing to have this movie on this show for a long time. I've been arguing it literally every week. And now I can't remember what the ending is, but I think that he didn't, and they have it. I feel like they do.
I kept waiting
that
for that
alluding
scene
to the fact that they do.
I kept waiting for the scene of at the end of like, and then he opens up a curtain or something,
yeah,
or then he like slashes open the tires to his car and
right
thousands of, you know, it all falls out or some shit. Something like that, you know?
Yeah,
that's
totally.
That's a joke for a movie that I don't want to ruin.
Oh,
what the
yes
reveal is in that
okay
movie.
Okay, please don't tell
no
me.
No, no, but yeah, I kept expecting something like that. And when it didn't happen, I was kind of okay with it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you know what? I like the matter of factness of it.
Like a little, yeah.
And it's so, and so much in my head that I was just putting it in like, man, this is so a movie like of the 90s, of its decade.
Oh, for
I
sure
like that it wasn't the typical, hey, and guess what? We get away with it,
here it
as
is
well. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I was like, all right, fuck it. He burned the money.
Yeah. Well, my best part, Ricky, is going to surprise the shit out of you because it is the beautiful duo act chewing up the scenery of Nick Cage and Josh Lucas. The first time I watched this movie, I could not believe what Josh Lucas was doing. I loved it. I ate it up. I think it's so funny. I think his villain in this is just like insane. I particularly love the scene where she begins to, the daughter sort of escapes out of the trunk of the taxi, and then he like catches her, puts whatever drugs back into her, and then she starts tripping on them and seeing him, and he's like terrifying looking. Looks like a lizard or whatever. I just loved it. And I mean, I can't get enough of Nick Cage. I love when he plays the like confused action hero,
mm-hmm,
not the intense action hero, but the sort of like, but why?
Yeah.
But why? Like, he just can't figure it out, but he's just running everywhere. I also particularly love when he just grabs a gold mask to hide in New Orleans near the beginning. But he's like 6 feet tall and he's wearing all black.
All black, yeah.
And
yeah
he's like right across the street from the FBI. And they're like, huh? Where? What? That's what I love about this movie. It is just a movie that like keeps on giving you fun stuff.
Yeah.
That taxi first. Oh, and the taxi cab driver that he steals his cab is in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he's also a sound designer, which is pretty cool.
I didn't know that.
I thought that guy was great in that scene. It was like
he
really
is great.
Funny. And also that cab dispatcher guy.
I wrote this down. How come every cab dispatcher in a movie has an attitude? Whenever you call them up,
it
hey,
all started with
who are
Danny
you?
DeVito.
You're right. I didn't even think of that.
It's all because of Danny DeVito.
You're absolutely right.
He pigeonholed taxi cab dispatchers.
He sure did.
Oh,
it's
anyway
on his IMDb page.
Yeah. All right. So, Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5 receding hair plugs, what do you give Stolen?
I'm going to give it. I'll give it 1.
Whoa, one receding. That is a very receded hairline.
That plug ain't plugged in. It's just hanging there.
It's
the
a,
wind
it's
is
a
blowing
light bright.
It. Woo. But if you watch it with a bunch of people, I bet you'll think it's fucking
yeah
great.
Yeah, a fun time. Yeah. I'm sorry I made you watch it by yourself.
Right, so it just means I have no friends.
Well, I am giving Stolen on a scale of 1 to 5 jobbly jawlines. I don't even know what that means. I just made it up. It's something, it feels evocative of Nick Cage. I'm going to give it 3.5 because I think it's a fun, I mean, I was so surprised when I watched it. The only thing that bothered me was that daughter storyline that doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make it unnecessary.
I just, you know, I love to see Nick Cage in an action movie, just like letting it all out. He has made so many weird movies. I loved it. I just loved it. And I was so surprised by Josh Lucas's Nick Caging that he did. He was meeting him. They were meeting each other. I just thought it was beautiful. Cool. So, Ricky, what are you thinking about this week?
I am thinking about a movie that I saw while I was on tour that is just so fucking great. Mm-hmm. And it's a movie that, God damn it, you said it earlier, and I've said this on before when I talk about movies that I fucking love. Like, all right, if we want to see these, if we don't want to see as many comic book movies, if you don't want to see all these movies that come out during the summer, go see the good ones that do fucking sneak in there. Snowpiercer right now is the movie that I'm telling everybody to go see because it's so goddamn good. I went on fucking Rotten Tomatoes today, and it said that movie has made, I think, $500,000.
You're kidding me.
I am not kidding you.
Oh, my God.
And that is, I mean, I'm hoping that's wrong, but it said 452K to be exact.
Oh, my God.
And I was
God.
Just like, come on.
That's not okay.
Come on. It's in movies. It's in the theater. They already put it on video on demand. So there's people out there who want you to see this movie, but support this movie. It's so great. Why? Tilda Swinton, son. Bam.
I know.
On point.
Ricky, do you want to know what I'm going to leave everybody with?
I wish you would.
Two things. But first up is Tilda Swinton's performance in Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
I tweeted the other day that she should get an Oscar nomination for it. She won't, but she should.
Mm-hmm.
It is worth the price of admission just to see her in this movie. And I will leave it at that because we're going to review it next week.
Boom!
So you guys should go out and see it. I'm not even going to give you my second. We will leave you this with this. I'll save that for next week. Because I just want everybody to go out and see Snowpiercer. Because Ricky Carmona is correct about what he's saying. If you're tired of seeing the same old schlock, go out and support the stuff that is not the same old schlock. That's away from the flock. That's Snowpiercer. So please, go see it in the theater. You can literally get it anywhere. Pay for it. Go see it.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about it. And it's going to be super fun. Until next week, I'm Rhea Butcher.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
And you have been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay, and Maximum Fun, and thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.